I'm a teacher.
I'm a researcher.
I'm a mother.
I'm a lawyer.
And I believe in acting kindly toward you, because you are...
A Muslim lady.
You are very special. There's no one just like you. You are very special. And I'm so glad you're mine.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. السلام عليكم dear listeners, sisters, mothers, ladies from all around the world. Welcome back to a new episode of your own program, Muslim Lady. So this is IRIB English Radio, and once more, Asma is having the pleasure to be your host. And here with me, we have Sister Zainab. Assalamu alaikum, sister, and welcome to the studio.
Wa alaikum assalam. Thank you for having me.
How are you doing?
Alhamdulillah, I'm fine. How are you?
Thank you very much. Just like always, it's a pleasure for me to be here with you and with the Muslim ladies out there. Previously on Muslim Lady, we were talking about the history of women, of ancient societies, of how cruelly they treated women with no feeling and with no passion, with no regard of their dignity or character. They felt as if women are just these properties, that they own them, they can sell them, they can just leave them alone in a desert, or they can just sacrifice them alongside their deceased husbands. So it was all horrible, sad, and so tragic. And it was the real way the ancient societies looked at women. So right now, for a woman who's living in 21st century, this might sound as a mystery of the history. I mean, it sounds like it was something that is just related to stories. We cannot even believe it. We cannot relate to it at all. But then, unfortunately, they existed there. We went through the introduction of how different societies looked at women. But right now, let's just go further.
We went through how women were treated in different cultures. It's not possible to talk about all cultures, but we made some important, we highlighted some of the important cultures, how they treated women. And it's really important for a woman to know today how they were treated, so that at least this word, Alhamdulillah, comes out from our mouth, and we express our gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for giving us so many rights. In the era before Islam, especially in the Arabic society, it was plagued by, alcoholism, adultery, the practice of burying girls alive. There was widespread ignorance. They used to, have that excessive pride in clan and family. There was arrogance. There was immoral behavior. People had, no place of refuge or protection from oppression and aggression, especially when it comes to women. They had no established law. And it seemed like, it was the law of the jungle prevailed.
Yeah, exactly.
So, wherever the powerful and strong would exert more force and subject others to harassment. The wealthy individuals in that society possessed multiple slaves and maidservants, and the killing of slaves was a common occurrence. In Hijaz, a disturbing practice prevailed where newborn girls were buried alive.
So, the most horrible thing ever.
These girls might be captured and by the enemy during the times of war and subsequently become pregnant. This was one of the reasons that they would bury their girls alive. Some of the girls were killed due to the fear of poverty. As women did not participate in the warfare, they were deprived of inheritance rights and were treated as a part of deceased property being inherited by someone else. The tribe of Bani Tamim was the first to engage in the horrific act of killing newborn girls. Whenever a pregnant woman experienced the pains of labor, they would venture into the desert where a pit had been prepared. And it was besides that this pit that they would give birth. If the newborn was a boy, the women of the tribe and the surrounding community would celebrate with joy and excitement. They would express that.
Yeah, and if it was a girl?
taking the baby and its mother to the men. However, if the newborn baby, as you said, if it was a girl, a profound sadness would cast a shadow over everyone's face. Yeah. The innocent baby girl would be buried alive in the same pit, you know, where this woman was taken into the desert. And the tribe members would return to their tents in complete silence. It's impossible to encompass and eludicate the treatment of women in all societies within this limited space that we have right now. So we shall confine ourselves to discussing a few instances and then we'll proceed accordingly.
Yeah. So thank you, sister. And thank you, dear listeners. Let's go for a short break. Don't go anywhere. Stay tuned.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Muslim Lady.
So, yes, it was so horrible how they treated women in the ancient times. Even when I look at the movies from the ancient time, I could see the amount of injustice that has been imposed on women. They were really, really oppressed and they were sadly killed for stupid reasons and for some, I don't know.
And you know, when you look at these histories and you see those who, you know, come out and give those feminist slogans, you kind of ask yourself, where did you get that nerve from?
Exactly, yeah. And however, I said it right now, I can understand where from.
Right. Women have actually endured oppression in two different phases. The first one occurred during the era of ignorance, where, you know, where they were regarded as being on a level lower than animals. The second phase is the phase which, you know, which persists in our time. I would say it involves the oppression of women under the guise of freedom. This oppression has stripped women of their esteemed position and honor, the spirituality, the dignity they held once when, you know, Islam was there. So I won't say those who give the, you know, slogans of freedom, feminism and all, that kind of, I don't know, but I would say this is another kind of oppression.
Women were oppressed. Then Islam came and the Prophet solved everything, gave women their suitable position in society and as a human being. But then after that again, we came to be deviated into another extreme line, which again is going to belittle women and degrade them. Which is the slogans of freedom and whatever that comes to show that, okay, we are freeing women of all the entanglements that society is putting on her, imposing on her. But what happens literally is the fact that they are again getting back to the ancient times.
Exactly.
And using women
oppression
as
in another
things,
form.
Not as human beings.
Right. They are facing oppression in another form.
Exactly.
Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam described women as delicate flowers of fragrant basil, while some of the philosophers advocated for the use of whips when dealing with women. So these conflicting judgments have had detrimental and adverse effects on women's inner selves, their protection, their own identity, their own personality.
Speaking of all these things right now, I just am thinking about what a kind man the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was, to just treat women like this, to the point that his daughter is the mother of the entire Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam.
Exactly.
And
no?
She is the wife of Imam Ali alayhi salam. So she has been given such a position to be the center of the universe.
And you know, that happened when a woman was fractured. Her personal growth was fractured, her self-confidence, everything was, you know, taken away or broken.
Yeah.
Then Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, eventually he came and he opposed and fought against these ignorant practices. You
wrong
know.
Notions, yeah.
Exactly, like that of burying newborn daughters alive. You know, one day a man named Qais, who had grown old and embraced Islam, approached the Messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and seeked forgiveness for his past. This case confesses to a grave sin. He says to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa sallam that due to the prevailing ignorance, many fathers in our society would bury their innocent daughters alive. And he himself had tragically buried his 12 daughters in close proximity to one another. Yeah.
What a killer.
Right. And then he's confessing to the sin after he embraced Islam. Furthermore, his wife had secretly given birth to a 13th daughter and claimed that the baby was stillborn. So, years went by until one fateful day, he says, I unexpectedly returned home from a journey and discovered a young girl in my home who bore a striking resemblance to my own children.
Yeah.
And then he says, doubt consumed me and I questioned her identity, but it was eventually revealed that she was indeed my own daughter. Regretfully, I disregarded her pleas and tragically buried her alive. This case was, confessing this, he stood in silence and...
Oh my God.
While tears were streaming down from the eyes of Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the then Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam softly, uttered to himself, he says, he who does not show mercy will not be shown mercy. Then turning his attention to Qais, he spoke, foretelling that difficult times lay ahead for you, saying you have challenging days ahead, O Qais. You have committed a grave sin and you don't know what days are there
coming for written. You.
Yeah, exactly.
You don't know what future is waiting for you. Of course, because he's been a miserable killer. He killed 13 daughters. Oh my God. So there has been so much of cruel incidents for women throughout history.
A renowned poet known as Sasa bin Nachia. He approached the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he was in his old age, and he begins to recount his, an incident. He says that, O Prophet, I lost my two pregnant camels and set out on another camel to search for them.
Mm-hmm.
Then as he journeyed, he spotted a tent in the distance and approached it. Seeking assistance, he inquired about his missing camels from a man who was seated near the tent. To his relief, the man informed to him that he had found the camels nearby and then taken them into his care. Now, simultaneously, an elderly woman comes in and who happened to be the mother of this man.
Yeah.
And she emerged from the behind of the tent and with a sorrowful expression. Now, the man inquired about the outcome of the recent childbirth and the,
Which is clear right now from the face of that woman.
Exactly, from her expression. It came out to be a baby girl. And without hesitation, the man coldly responded, urging them not to delay and proceed to burying the newborn girl. This poet, Sasa bin Nachia, who is there standing and, looking at this, he was overwhelmed with grief and, he felt his entire being was shattered. And
any human being could feel like that.
It was so helpless. He gets this courage. He asks this man, would you like to sell the child?
Yeah.
And then this man says that, have you ever heard Arabs selling their children? Driven by that greed, the man proposes an alternative. Now this man says that if selling was not an option, he would be willing to exchange the baby for the two camels and the another camel that he was, riding upon. So in exchange of these three camels, he gave his baby girl.
Oh my God.
And Sasa accepts. He takes the baby girl in exchange of the three camels.
This guy is going to go to heaven.
He agrees to the proposal and then offering the camels in exchange for the girl. And then he says to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, from that moment onward, he is giving away his property in one way, but he's saving a baby girl and he's handing her over to a, he then entrusted her to a caretaker, and then says that from that moment onwards, I remained steadfast in this practice and rescuing a total of 280 girls from the clutches of death, each at the cost of 3 camels.
So I guess we still have a lot to say about it, and you have to add to this history and account, but we can do it in other episodes. Thank you, Sister Zainab, and thank you, dear listeners. I hope you enjoyed it. Until another session, I bid you farewell. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
I know I'm waiting, waiting for something, something to happen to me. This waiting comes with trials and challenges.